On October 1st and 2nd, up to 6,000 students were sitting in at the administration building of the University of California and demonstrating around a trapped police car in protest of restrictions of their constitutional freedoms. Some of the speakers you are about to hear have not slept for 3 days. Their voices are cracked, their emotions are shaken. This is their story, taped live at the demonstrations.
I've never been a very good student or a very good citizen. So I see you. I see you as people, as young people, who have the strength and the heart and the intelligence and the guts to do whatever you please. And if you have the strength here, which you have, to stand to the administration and say, we want free speech on campus, you can have through the rest of your lives the strength to stand up whenever you say, whenever you see something you don't like, don't believe in segregation, or to say to the government, I don't believe in war. And you really have to do it. The country is yours, and if you want it, you're going to have to fight for it, because it might not be around for that long. Oh, my name, it is nothing.
The Sproul Hall sit-in. On September 30th, after a week of fruitless petitioning, certain campus clubs, including CORE, SNCC, and SLATE, a student political party, set up tables to test the university regulations banning collection of funds, recruitment of members, and advocacy of off-campus political and social action. 5 students manning tables had their names taken and were ordered to appear at the Dean of Students' office at 3:00 in the afternoon. 500 sympathetic students signed a declaration of equal responsibility and marched with the original 5 to demand equal treatment. Thus began the first Sproul Hall sit-in.
Look, the only reason... The only reason that I took part in this is because I like Cal very much. I'd like to see it better.
Why are you doing this?
I'm not here to destroy something. We're all here to try to build something. Why don't you help us?
Around midnight, a dean announced for Chancellor Strong the indefinite suspension of the original 5 students, along with 3 others. These became known as the 8.
This is fantastic. I want to personally thank you as one of the 8 students, and I know you're doing it for yourselves too, but it's just been beautiful, just beautiful. It's fantastic to see all these people here, and all the 8 students could never believe such a thing could happen at the University of California, where this many students would say they've had enough and they're going to stand up right now. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah.
Some faculty members were concerned that the demonstrations would damage the university. A committee appeared before the students sitting in at Sproul Hall and asked them to reconsider their tactic. Here, 2 students reply.
The faculty has been with us before, nominally. What do you expect of us? We have been driven to the first civil disobedience on campus, if indeed this is civil disobedience, it may turn into it. After a period of 6 years of having our liberties chopped away one by one, of petitioning nicely, of discussing nicely, where has the faculty been during all this? Should the faculty be trailing us, or the faculty be leading us?
Leading!
If this university is so rotten and so corrupt at its base that a simple demonstration by students asking for free speech will cause this university to collapse, from outside pressure, I ask you if you can stand there and solicit my support for it.
The press reported students as attacking police officers. These charges were denied by the students. Here, taped on the spot, are the events themselves.
It seems that the first report was correct.
An officer walked through the densely packed sit-ins and stepped on a number of them. The demonstrators stated that the police had been very good, and it was just the case of a single policeman being overzealous in the pursuit of his duty. And the 2 doors In the two center doors of Sproul Hall, there are 8, 9, 10 Berkeley policemen in the doorway. Directly behind them are some other demonstrators who seem to have come downstairs. There's one tall policeman directly in the center.
The policeman has stepped over the demonstrators. I won't be able to talk. The police are stepping on the demonstrators. I'm being pushed from behind. They're fighting. It's a madhouse.
So, of course, we sat down in the door there. Oh, and by the way, you'll be interested to note that it was the whole Gestapo scene with boots, you know, and biting and all that, you know. It's really tremendous. All right.
The arrest of Jack Weinberg. On October 1st, students again set up tables to protest the ban. Deans, accompanied by campus police, approached the tables and, out of many manning them, singled out Jack Weinberg, a recent graduate and a civil rights worker, and had him arrested for trespassing.
And Sathergate proper, at approximately 10:15, a table appeared on the right-hand side of the gate as you face it, a table for Friends of SNCC, and as well as asking for contributions for SNCC, placards and leaflets and bumper strips calling for your no vote on 14 are also being circulated. And now, just a few moments ago, on the other side of the gate, another table, and as on the other table, a prominent container asking for contributions, a clear challenging of the university regulation now being contested by the demonstrators. And now at 11:21, the tables are moving, three of them, in front of Sproul Hall.
Are you prepared to remove yourself and the table from university property? Are you aware that by not doing so, you are subjecting yourself to probable disciplinary action? I must inform you, if you are a student, you are violating university regulations, and if you are a non-student, you are violating the trespass law. Will you identify yourself? You leave me no alternative but to ask Lieutenant Chandler to arrest you.
Mr. Van Uden,
you come with me then,
would you like to see our reg cards, sir? We'd be very glad, each one of us, to volunteer them to you and show it to
all of
us.
You're talking to all of us.
You, as of now, are under arrest, and either you'll come with me peacefully, or we're going to take you. Either one, whichever you want to do.
Take all of us.
I'm talking to this person right here. You understand? I think you can cause your group a great deal of... Now, you're either going to come with me, or we're going to take you. All right. Would you get back, please?
I've got to deal with him.
Dean Murphy?
When he gets up, sit down.
They haven't charged me with anything yet. I'm under arrest. I want to tell you about this knowledge factory that we're all sitting here now. It seems that certain of the products are not coming out to standard specifications. Certain of the products are not coming out to standard specifications, and I feel the university is trying to purge these products so that it can once again produce for the industry exactly what they specify. This is the knowledge factory. If you read Clark Kerr's books, these are his precise words. The knowledge factory takes certain assignments. They take orders from industry. They want so many of these. They want so many of these. The university very willingly obliges and, in fact, turns out exactly what they are ordered. This is mass production. No deviations from the norms are tolerated. Occasionally, some students get together and they decide that they are not willing to be products. They decide they're not willing to be another thing produced by the university. And they protest, and the university feels obliged, and I'm sure all these gentlemen here feel very morally upset about this. They're not cruel men. But I'll tell you about that in a minute. It might take them a while to arrest me. They feel obliged to purge these non-standard products. We want to see social change in the world in which we live. We are human beings who have ideas. We think, we talk, we discuss. We feel that we as human beings first and students second must take our stand on every vital issue which faces this nation, and in particular the vital issue of discrimination, of segregation, of poverty, of unemployment.
Following this speech, the police came to carry out the arrest. Jack went limp and was carried to a waiting police car. Students sat down around the car and refused to let it pass. Then, with the permission of the bewildered police, persons who wished to speak stood on the roof of the car, and a dialogue was opened. From the top of the car.
The freedom banner, we have to hold it up until we die.
People ask me about this school. What's it like? We've heard a lot of things, etc. And I told them it was a pretty great place. And I was looking forward to the time when I could come back. And they said, why? We got great teachers here. I said, yeah, there's great teachers all over, you know? Great men, great people, great ideas, I said. They said, why did you want to stay here? I said, well, it's free there. So I just want to say, I hope that I have not been wrong in coming back to this glorious institution. If you think I'm wrong, would you let me know? Thanks. I don't think so either.
I hold this university in trust for the people of the state of California. And for them to say, I can't, is a pile of hogwash. They can and they will. I was speaking earlier about some people are hoping this is the beginning of whatever the hell it is. Comes the revolution. All right. Look around you and see who's standing on your left and see who's standing on your right. A lot of people who never got up off their fannies to do anything until they stepped and said you couldn't if you wanted to. These people say, I want to be able to hear and go back and vote Democratic and vote Republican from now on. And that's what they're going to do, and they got that right. And they got the right to hear those people out there that say you're an ass. But Clark Kerr doesn't see it that way. And he says, oh, you might join your club. Well, frankly, by God, I might. I might. And I want that right. Civil disobedience doesn't mean throw a brick through the window. It doesn't mean punch a cop. It doesn't mean tip over this police car. And don't do it. Don't do it. Civil disobedience comes when there is no higher authority who has anything to do with the whole scene, not the legislature, nobody else. The governor as the ex officio member of the Board of Regents, and the Board of Regents, and Clark Kerr, and Chancellor Strong. Those are the people you're talking to, and there is no legal way to get at them. Only way is to stand here, to sit here, to block the whole scene, to embarrass this guy when he picks up the morning newspaper and reads Clark Kerr's a fink.
You've got to say, give it to me, or I will show that I don't like it. I will fight against this. It's the same thing here. They'll never do anything. Why should they? Nothing is going to be done for you and you and you until you and you and you go up there and say, I want it done. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to object. I'm not going to say I don't like it. I'm going to fight.
You don't have to hit the dean. That's not necessary. If you won't fight for what you believe in, you don't deserve to have it. What we will do, if those students are not released, if the charges are not dropped, that at Monday morning, we will call on TAs, faculty members, and students to stop going to classes. Right? Because this is the limit. We'll organize this campus like the CIO organized the factory.
The students received support from the local clergy, who attempted to achieve a one-week moratorium, and amnesty for the suspended students and the arrested Jack Weinberg. However, their attempt at mediation was rebuffed by the administration.
However, if at the end of that 1 week, it is the case that the administration has made no substantial concessions, then they publicly go on record as supporting continuous violation of all of these restrictions that the administration has placed upon us. They further said that these gentlemen were personally in favor of bringing their own tables on campus to collect money.
The concern of some of the faculty was again expressed. They asked the students to disperse first and bargain later. After consideration of this suggestion, the students replied,
whether or not there was a possibility, somehow, that the people here who have stood by these nine all this time, were personally committed to the extent they are, who voted overwhelmingly to hold on to this car, whether these people are prepared to go home and then, when they're done going home, send a couple of representatives over to speak with the dean of men to ask, well, what can you do for us, dean? And you know what I told them? I said, first of all, they can't do it. Secondly, I'd never compromise myself to ask them to do it.
We could disperse, as has been suggested, I think, in good faith by this faculty member. If we do disperse, it's my opinion that the back of our struggle is broken, that the only weapon we have of embarrassing Clocker, of embarrassing the administration, of showing we're serious and don't leave when we're threatened with arrest, that weapon is taken away from us. Now, those of you who are seated here, those of you who are prepared to go to jail, and not those of you who are curiosity seekers or Sunday friends of ours or opponents, I'm addressing this to you. It's your decision. If the police are going to come in and announce to you that if you don't leave, you will be arrested, if you know that you're going to be arrested, are we prepared to stick to our principles and go to jail? Let me hear it. Yes, please.
And if there's another car coming, we'll stop every damn automobile they bring on this campus.
Food, cooking supplies, cigarettes, candy is being thrown to the seated demonstrators.
And one more thing, I think I should tell you this. The entire area around Bancroft has been sealed off. There's 500 policemen here.
I have been asked to announce by the ad hoc leaders that are meeting with President Kerr and Mr. Powell that negotiations are at the current time still in session. They feel right now that it seems very, very favorable that a solution will be reached.
When arrest seemed imminent, student leaders, with the benefit of legal advice, gave instructions on civil disobedience to the demonstrators. A leader advised students to remove all glasses, pencils, and sharp objects to prevent injuries and instructions were given on how to behave if and when the arrests began.
May I have your attention, please? Lick your arm, go limp, and not resist arrest.
If the policeman beats you, get the badge number.
Yeah. If they drag you off to the side, just come back and lift your arms again.
The chaplains are here today wearing armbands. They're here for one purpose, to make sure that no students get hurt. So we thank the chaplains for that.
We've received word from the negotiating team that there will be no arrests until the negotiating team arrives. Negotiations have not broken down as yet. They haven't officially broken down yet, but there has been a guarantee that there will be no arrests until they arrive.
You have a choice to act. You have a choice to act like men. Act like men.
And indeed, now the line is moving back and more people are joining the sit-in. The number has easily doubled. The number has easily doubled. And more are sitting.
And once again, the monitors regroup around the now larger circle of seated demonstrators.
A foreign student came up to me. He was interested in our issue, and he made a point to me which I would just like to convey to you. In the last 700 years, a policeman has not been allowed on a German campus. Now, if we are not freer than Germany, why was World War II fought?
Has not yet broken down, and we still hope that there is a possibility of reconciliation.
The president of the university signed a pact with leaders of the demonstration, and they returned to report to the demonstrating students. Here, one of the leaders, Mario Savio, reads the pact and asks for its acceptance by the students.
I should now like to read the document. The first provision. The student demonstrators shall desist from all forms of their illegal protest against university regulations. Please, please. Number two, a committee representing students, including leaders of the demonstration, faculty, and administration, will immediately be set up to conduct discussions and hearing into all aspects of political behavior on campus and its control, and to make recommendations to the administration. Three, the arrested man will be booked but released on his own recognizance, and the university, which is the complainant, will not press charges. The duration of the suspension of the suspended students will be submitted within 1 week to the Student Conduct Committee of the Academic Senate, not to the administration. Five.
Please, please be silent. Please. Please be silent.
Five. Activity may be continued by student organizations in accordance with existing university regulations. That is, in other words, none of the groups originally involved have had their privileges suspended. Sixth and last, the president of the university has already declared his willingness to support deeding certain university property at the end of Telegraph Avenue to the City of Berkeley or to the ASUC Senate. I would like that those who have taken part in this protest will agree by acclamation to accepting this document and as soon as they have done so, to rise quietly and with dignity to walk home. May I please have that decision?
But the fight was not over. The proposed negotiations deadlocked, and the chancellor disbanded the committee. New demonstrations ensued, culminating with the arrest of some 800 demonstrators. Student leaders and teaching assistants called a massive strike, and the university ground to a halt. 2 days later, the faculty voted 8-1 in favor of student goals. In a student election held during the crisis, free speech candidates swept the field. But the final authority for the solution of the dispute rests with the Board of Regents, who seem reluctant to grant the student faculty demands.
And as this song is being sung, more and more students, first one and two, many more, and now followed by the leaders on top of the town, are raising their right hand from their lead for a victory signal.
I'm going to hold you.